Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquenceonline.net in beautiful overcast, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. This is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Would your performance leave the audience wanting more? There's one performance that's left me wanting more for over 30 years.
Did your parents have any children that lived?
Sir, yes, sir.
I bet they regret that. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece. What's your name, fat body?
That's probably the only portion of the opening scene, the famous opening scene of Full Metal Jacket circa 1987 that I could play on the air. And if you're one of these social justice warriors at your average secular college out there and you watch Full Metal Jacket, you will be running for the safe space. Okay, you can all get together and run in time like they do in the movie when they're at Paris Island. Y'all can kind of go in cadence together to the local safe space at your university or college. Can't care about every actor that dies or every, you know, they do those things on the Academy Awards where they pay tribute to people, you know, in memoriam. And they always have somebody that you've never heard of. Oh, this person designed shoes for Cleopatra back in the 1960s. I wonder if they're going to put Arlie Ermey in the in memoriam at the Academy Awards next year. That would be very, very interesting to see. That's a great performance. Full Metal Jacket is the name of the episode today. And speaking of jackets, I wanted to send a quick shout out to Public Service Credit Union. They had their second annual Suits for Soldiers events. It honors armed forces with free business attire and much more. And we'd hope to get Malcolm Johnson on the show. Things didn't work out, and we're going to talk about why here in a little bit, because it continues to be this bifurcation of the credit union marketplace between NAFQ and CUNA. And of course, like I said, in a world of Pepsi and Coke, if NAFQ is regular Coke, I'm going to pick regular Coke over Pepsi every time. And we're going to talk about how the CEO of CUNA, Jim Nussle, has actually added an eighth cooperative principle to those seven cooperative principles that, regrettably, we actually allowed someone come onto the air one time and she read all seven of them. And yes, it was the most infrequently listened to show that particular year. I'm not going to use her name because she's still out there. I don't want to embarrass anybody. It was embarrassing for that person, but I don't want to embarrass them. And wow, the abandonment rate on that show was in the 60%, which is about way above of what it would normally be. Now, if somebody clicks out of the show when they hear the extra, because we always use the same exit music, that actually does count as an abandonment. But when you see it go from, you know, 13% into the 50s, you know, people do not like to listen to reading on the air. But this is actually really cool. From Lone Tree, Colorado, April 6, 2018, Public Service Credit Union, here I go reading, honored current and former servicemen and servicewomen with a free professional apparel, a different kind of jacket, not a Full Metal Jacket, and accessories during their second Suits for Soldiers event on March 29th and 30th. Transitioning from military life into civilian workforce is an ongoing challenge for many, says Malcolm Johnson. He is PSCU's Director of Public Relations and Community Involvement. This is just one way we can give back to the brave men and women who have served. And so there's a nice press release out there, although I will point out to Jason Fetteler, if I'm saying that right, if I'm mispronouncing that, I don't mean to. Jason Fetteler, The picture, which is in the press release, says from left to right, you have Steve Ferrero, PSCU's Chief Community Engagement Officer, and then Meredith Winfield, Miss Colorado. Of course, the second person from the left is a bald gentleman. So I don't want you to think that there's been any kind of mistake made in the Miss Colorado pageant, and in the interest of diversity, they awarded it to a bald white guy. I think they just got the order wrong in the press release. And it's Todd Marksbury, the CEO, the lovely and gracious Miss Colorado, and then Malcolm Johnson, who I had a really great phone call with this past week about having him on this show. But they just hired somebody from Filene, who, of course, is a big advocate of CUNA, and heaven offend that you come on a show that has always been honest about CUNA and NAFQ. And I have gotten far more money from CUNA in my credit union career than I've ever gotten from NAFQ. And I made my decision, if I were a person that had to decide between CUNA and NAFQ, I made the decision for NAFQ based exclusively on their results. If you're perusing social media each and every day, you can see a mass exodus from credit unions that used to be with CUNA to the NAFQ brand. And in a free marketplace, they have the right to do that. And based upon CUNA's performance over the past couple of years, I think credit unions are honor bound to do that, because you are honor bound to steward your members' money the right way. So we're going to talk about that after the break. And of course, I love it when we get a chance to do one of these. It's the Wells Fargo update.
The Wells Fargo wagon! The Wells Fargo wagon! Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street.
I wish I knew what it could be.
I got a box of maple sugar on my birthday.
In March I got a great mat
and once I got some grapefruit from Tampa.
Montgomery Ward sent me a bathtub and a cross.
That's right. The Wells Fargo wagon is rolling into town. It's $1 billion lighter, however. This is from CU Journal. In fact, all of our articles today are from CU Journal. Wells Fargo agreed Friday to pay a $1 billion with a B, as in Bravo, $1 billion claim to settle overcharged customers for auto insurance and home loans, and of course, all the stuff that was going on with Wells Fargo. Instead of getting a Mackinac and grapefruit from Tampa, what you were getting was an account that you actually didn't sign up for, and you were getting charged late payments for payments that weren't actually late. And of course, we've done two shows on the Wells Fargo meltdown and the Bank of America stuff. And we asked the question out loud, what would the credit union and community banking marketplace do with that information? And so the jury is still out on that particular element. And of course, one final thing before we get to this little, well, it's not little, this flap between CUNA and NAFQ is, of course, I guess you've all heard by now that I forgot what day it is, but there's a day coming up where you will not be able to go into a Starbucks. And it really got me thinking, notwithstanding what I think is the ridiculous political drive behind this particular closing, I think that's actually a great idea. For every business should close one day each year. A lot of banks and credit unions do that, by the way. They'll pick a federal holiday. One that, you know, you're not going to do it on the 4th of July or Christmas and New Year's Day, but Martin Luther King Day, well, you may not be able to do that after the Starbucks thing. I've seen plenty of credit unions that use Martin Luther King Day, Columbus Day, and of course, Veterans Day. So you can't really get offended about which federal holiday is picked. And they will go out and they'll do an all employee training day. I used to speak at lots and lots of those events. In fact, famously at a all employee day, speaking of Todd Marksbury's credit union up there in Colorado Springs, it was at a credit union in 2004. It wasn't that one. It was a much smaller one, a police officer's credit union up in, I believe it was in Aurora, or maybe it was Colorado Springs. I can't recall. It's a long time ago. It was 2004, where I was first asked, had I ever heard of Netflix? And of course, in those days, it was strictly a you order a DVD and it comes in the mail. I guess in those days it was in 2 days. And of course, as soon as I heard about Arlie Ermey passing, I jumped right on Netflix and watched the opening scene of Full Metal Jacket on Netflix on my awesome, beautiful 12.9-inch Mac iPad Pro, which has just been a gorgeous thing to watch movies and stuff on. I've never understood how people watch movies on their phones. Now I don't know how I ever watched it on an iPad Air. It's just like having your flat screen sitting on your chest at night as you drift off to sleep or checking news and things like that. But if that movie left me wanting more. Many of us have seen that movie multiple times. It came out in 1987. I had already made it through basic training with the U.S. Army, but I really did enjoy, because I had seen the transformation in me from a, you know, skinny 18-year-old from San Antonio, Texas, to a very, very competent dealer of death at the 4th Battalion, 21st Infantry, 7th Infantry Division Light at Fort Ord, California. The transformation is permanent, by the way. So I think every business should do that. I don't know what's going to happen after Starbucks opens up after its day of closing. Will you still be able to go in there and order black coffee? I don't know. Will you be able to go in there and order the flat white latte? I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have color neutral stuff for all of their coffee. It's going to be interesting. I've never experienced any problems in Starbucks except the long waits in line when I have the misfortune of being there, but we'll see. But I do think closing your business for a day for training, and whether it's diversity or whatever, I think it's good for any brand to do just that. So when we get back from the break, got to talk about this, because CUNA CEO Jim Nussle has added an 8th cooperative principle to the 7 cooperative principles. And instead of it being cooperation among cooperatives, it's now conflict among cooperatives. And I think he owes NAFU a public apology. I really, really do. I think this is over the line. And we're going to look at both of those editorials in the back and forth. And in the interest of full disclosure, yes, I exchanged some emails with Dan Berger this week to make sure I kind of understood what was going on. I don't pretend to understand all the regulatory stuff that's going on. And by the way, neither do the members. Members have absolutely no idea what legislation is going on. Nobody is sitting around today at lunchtime going, I wonder what's happening with that Senate bill up there with the, whatever y'all are talking about. That's not my thing. That's not what this show is about. I rely on NAFQ to take care of all of that, as most credit unions do. You rely on NAFQ or CUNA to be your representative in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. And when so much of the credit union marketplace is based upon that, you know, non-taxed status, well, you got to go to where they levy taxes. And that, of course, is in the House and in the Senate. And from what I can tell, it looked like NAFQ wanted to make sure that the House had some time to review this. And Mr. Nussle went off on this rant about the game of battleship. And so we've got to talk about this, because I think it was very, very unfair and very, very interesting. I can tell you with absolute 100% certainty, we have had Dan Berger on the show. We have had Anthony Demagon on the show. We've had Kerry Hunt on the show. We've had tons of NAFQ people on the show. Our first guest ever on this show in March 2010 was from NAFQ. Not in any of the show audio, which is out there. Anybody can hear it. Never in email or conversation before or after the show has any employee from NAFQ ever said an unkind word about CUNA, not a single time. In fact, when Anthony and Dan were on, they went out of their way to say, hey, look, we don't want to talk negatively about CUNA. We want to talk positively and proactively about our brand. And that could probably explain why it seems like every single day I see a flag from one of the great states in our amazing union that is leaving CUNA and going to NAFQ. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll do it all right after this. from the CU Journal, what reg reform has in common with a classic board game. To distill this down a little bit, Mr. Nussel has an op-ed, and he's talking about the old game of Battleship. And if you're, you know, 50, 40 years old, you will remember this game. We had it in my house. It was a game everybody could play. It was just a little grid, X and Y grid, and you put these little plastic ships down, and the carrier had 5 hits before it was sunk, and then you had to hit the little PT boat, John F. Kennedy PT-109. You had to get that one. It was really small, and it was hard to find. And it was a great game, great way to kill great 30 minutes while you're waiting for the computer and robots to be invented, like we all were back in the days where we watched Star Trek on, you know, three channels and PBS. So what he's talking about here is that in regulatory reform, it is a uniformed approach that's going to help all of this. And toward the end of his op-ed, he talks about this, and I'll just read it. These are his words: the notion that any financial services trade association, when he's talking about NAPU, though he doesn't name it, would foolishly attempt to hold hostage the legislation as a scheme to secure something mythically greater, in quotations, his quotations, not mine, is not only irresponsible, but, to use the Battleship scenario, treasonous, akin to handing over the location data for the fleet. At this point in the game, there's little utility in stepping out as the weakest link in the group. NAPU's the weakest link in the group. I had to read that 15 times yesterday when I saw it. How are they the weakest link in the group? They're not the ones who lost $5 million moving out of a building. And Battleship was a game between two people. How is it treasonous? Who are you going to tell where the piece was on the board? Let me, little news for you, Jimbo. You can move your piece if you want to cheat. Okay, you can actually just pretend like, oh yeah, you got me, and then move it so they can't figure out, okay, it's got to be up or down, left or right. And that is part of my issue with this and CUNA in general. They're still thinking in terms of the X and Y axis. They have no imagination. They have no vibe. And all of this goes back to, gosh, this has got to be now 3 or 4 years ago when State Employees Credit Union in North Carolina left, when Jim Blaine's credit union left CUNA for NAPU, and I had him on the show the 2 days after it happened. That's when things really got interesting. And like I said, I don't know if this person works in Madison or if they work in D.C., but I have someone on the inside at CUNA who keeps me up to date on this. And when I blasted them over their ridiculous airport ad, where they put the ad on the turnstile thing where you get your luggage and expected people to play a game of Wheel of Fortune while they were, you know, had no idea what it even meant. The return this many dollars, they're not returning any this year, apparently. The credit unions did, but CUNA's not going to. They're out $5 million. That to me seems like a bigger foolish attempt to try to convince us that you lost $5 million moving out of a building. You are actually not supposed to take a loss when you move out. It's like moving out of your home. You have a $200,000 home. I'm going to move out of my home and I'm going to lose, you know, all of that money moving out of the house. It just doesn't make any sense. And to call NAPU treasonous, that's a pretty serious charge. I mean, if this were, you know, 1812, we might expect to see, you know, Mr. Nussel and Mr. Berger out there on the commons somewhere in D.C. with the, you know, the little pistol and, you know, 10 steps, we're going to have a duel here. It's pretty serious. Charge. We're a little more civil now, a little more civilized now. And so my guess is this disagreement is going to occur where it is, in the tab fields of our computers and phones and iPads. And so, of course, Dan Berger responds, an attack on NAPU is an attack on credit unions. And he's right. Okay, NAPU listens and acts on what credit unions care about most. Our positions are member driven. Remember them, CUNA, the members that pay for all your flying around and all the wasted money and all the ridiculous things that you're doing and that crazy, expensive, bloated bureaucracy that you promised you were going to fix when you became the CEO of CUNA. Mr. Nussel, remember that? Berger continues, our positions are member-driven. Every position NAPU takes is a reflection of the positions of our members taken from, wait for it, direct feedback member committees and our board of directors. And even when it may not have been the easiest thing to do, NAPCU has always fought for broad regulatory relief for credit unions. How can you say otherwise? You know, this is what winning and losing looks like. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason why when these new credit unions come over to NAPCU, if you've noticed, NAPCU doesn't name them because CUNA can get a little nasty about it. And, you know, it's, you know, like I said, we wanted to have Malcolm on to talk about the Suits for Soldiers. But Tansley Stearns, I didn't know she was going to that credit union. A couple years ago when she posted that picture, it looked like a cat using the litter box, except the litter box was a piece of Lego that had the words the Pope on it. It almost looked like the cat was using the restroom on the Pope, and I pointed that out, and Tansley took down the tweet, and she cried, and she was sad, and she was so embarrassed, and, you know, we had Molly Bell and those people on, but everything was cool until we got critical of CUNA. Everything was cool until we had Jim Blaine on the show. Everything was cool until we started honestly assessing these two variables. When NAPCU got the ability to have state chartered credit unions, everything changed. And why wouldn't they? The history that they were living and they were taking advantage of it. And I think this little outburst by Mr. Nussel this week with his eighth cooperative principle, Conflict Among Cooperatives, to which he is now the author and the sole owner, is in part, I think they're finally starting to see the transformation occurring. There's nothing compelling about the CUNA brand. There's nothing new and imaginative about the CUNA brand. If CUNA is the battleship game, the old cardboard box with the plastic pegs that would spill into the, you know, 10-inch high shag carpeting at my home back in San Antonio, Texas, and my mom would be vacuuming and hear like shrapnel going off as she picked up the little pegs, and sometimes you would run out of pegs and have to be honest and draw a circle or something around it. If CUNA is the old cardboard board game of battleship, NAPCU is the PC version, expansive, strategic, colorful, entertaining, ascendant. NAPCU is the ascendant brand, and CUNA is not. And Jim Nussel, I would love, if he has a poker game, I'd like to sit down with him, because he just showed his hand. They're losing, and this proves it. So if you've spent any money at all at CUNA events, if you've sent your people to CUNA events who want to be the keepers of the keys of the seven cooperative principles and cooperatives, cooperate with cooperatives, or whatever the sixth cooperative principle is, we'll have to get, I almost said her name, back on to read him again, cooperation among cooperatives. This is not that. This is not that. And again, how can NAPCU be doing something wrong when so many credit unions are voluntarily making the choice to join them and leave CUNA? I've offered to have Mr. Nussel on the show. I've offered to send him questions that he can answer in written, and I've promised that I would read them verbatim, and I would, and they've refused. And so it's fun. It's fun to watch this. It's fun to watch the Ascendant brand really get under the skin, these guys. But all the money that you've spent on CUNA conferences where they talk about the credit union principles and all this stuff, they also used to talk about, I learned about the need to be stewards of the members' money and the difference between for-profit banks and not-for-profit credit unions at CUNA events. That's where I really learned about credit unions, was at CUNA events. And now not only has Mr. Nussel not done the things he said he was going to do when he joined CUNA, because I don't recall him saying, well, when I join CUNA, I'm going to maintain our bloated bureaucracy. I'm going to lose $5 million of the members' money. And every single day, we're going to lose one of our paying clients. I don't remember him promising that. Had he promised that, well, spot on. All right. He's been doing a great job. But to go off like this and call them treasonous and foolish? I'm sorry, but I can't say that CUNA is treasonous, but I mean, like I said, projection here, project much. It is difficult to argue with the success that NAPCU is having. And in a legislative, you know, debate, in a legislative process, there is always going to be give and take and delays and stuff like that. And like I said, the members don't care. The members don't really know. The members want to go to the credit union, do their transactions, get the best rates on auto loans, and move on with their day. They are not nearly as interested in all of this as those of us in the credit union and banking chatter class. And like I said, those people in what I call the CUNA conference clan with a K, there is no diversity of opinion. There is no tolerance for a critical assessment of what CUNA has been doing and what they've been doing wrong. But this is now out there for everyone to see. If you want to find these op-eds, just go to the CU Journal. They've got them right there, kind of in that top banner. You can read them both. I read them both in their entirety, and I did email Dan Berger this morning just for a little bit of edification on what precipitated that. I read through them yesterday and really didn't understand where he was coming from. I was really kind of lost with the battleship analogy, because in battleship, you there's no way to commit treason in battleship unless you commit it against yourself. You're playing against another person who can't see the pieces in the pegs. He only knows how many hits he's scored, which you keep track of on the vertical part of your game that you're looking at. I don't know. I did email him and I said, what's going on? And he says, hey, we're not holding out on anything. That they are strong supporters of Senate Bill 2215, but they can't tell the House that they can't look at the legislation before they pass it, which might actually be a unique thing amongst legislation in D.C. Unlike the omnibus spending bill, the House might actually read this one. Look, I have no doubt that both CUNA and NAFQ are involved in important regulatory reform. We've had over 200 CEOs on this show. And when we've asked them if there's one thing you could change about the credit union marketplace, every single one of them has said, without flinching, regulatory reform. So I think both of these brands are doing their I know NAFQ is doing their level best, but to call them the weakest link, Mr. Nussel, you want to see the weakest link? Just reach up, pull down the visor in your car and slide that little thing over and look in the mirror, because that one's on you. And like I said, I invite anybody at CUNA that wants you to come on and talk about this. You will always be treated with respect here, and continue to see how this goes. This is very, very interesting. The folks that I talked to were all a little confused at why Mr. Nussel would use, I think, just some pretty ungentlemanly terms, especially with a brand that I know from firsthand experience has been forthcoming and gracious about CUNA. NAFQ, like I said, has never said an unkind word about those guys. And so some things need to be said. And so I'm the one who says them. And even though it makes the people in Madison and Washington, D.C. sad every time I say it, my name is Jason Dyche. You've been listening to The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Until next we speak, I'll be here next week. Take care.
That's all, folks.